Good evening. Tonight, I'd like you to open your Bibles to the book of Matthew. And as you do, we get to begin a new study tonight. It's a six-part series that we're going to be going over evangelism. And for me, it's just a nice reminder every once in a while to go back to the Great Commission and to remind ourselves what it means to evangelize. And my goal over the next 6 weeks is to give you some tools that you can use in order to evangelize. And we're going to be going over tonight the commission to share. And this is Christ sharing with us, giving us the command to go out and share our faith. And so I'd like you to turn in Matthew chapter 28. We're going to be looking at verses 18 through 20. And just to give you a reminder, in 6 weeks, so seven, if you include tonight, we start our service in the park again. And I love that. I love going out into the park. And if you've never been there with us, what we do, it's not scary, I promise. It's a much more relaxed format. And we take our lawn chairs out to Memorial Park. It's like half a block that way. And we have church in the park. It's literally just church in the park. We have worship. We have the word. We take offering and everything else like we normally would. And it's an opportunity to expose ourselves to the community as well as just to worship Jesus in public, which I really love. Lots of people get to come by and see how we're worshiping, and it's an opportunity for them to kind of get an idea of what church is about without actually having to come to the building. And for me, it's fun. We get there early. Every week we get to the park early. My kids bring their bikes, and before and after church, the kids are all riding their bikes around the park. We fellowship. A lot of times people will play volleyball and other things. And it's just an awesome Sunday afternoon in the park with church. So I'm excited. This series is going to end just as we're starting in the park. So I hope you guys are excited as I am. So it's a wonderful opportunity to both worship Jesus publicly and minister to our community. So I encourage you guys to join us this summer as we're in the park. But tonight we're in Matthew chapter 28. And if you remember, this is Jesus speaking right before he ascended into heaven. And it says here, if you remember in verse 1, now after the Sabbath, after the first day of the week began to dawn, Mary Magdalene and the other Mary came to see the tomb. So Jesus is raised from the dead. And Jesus said to them in verse 10, do not be afraid. Go and tell my brethren to go to Galilee, and there they will see me. And so that happens. And then in verse 18, and Jesus came, and he spoke to them, saying, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, of the Son, and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. Amen. And Father, as we come before you this evening, we ask that you would just continually remind us of your presence in our life, Lord. Empower us through your Holy Spirit that we might have boldness to share your love and the truth of your Son to the world. We pray that you would use us as individuals and as a church to bring the lost into the kingdom, to restore the brokenhearted. Father, that we would minister the love of Jesus to the community and the church would grow accordingly. In Jesus' name, amen. Now, we're going to be looking at tonight what has been known throughout the ages as the Great Suggestion. No, that's not what it's called, is it? It's not called the Great, I hope so. It's called the Great Commission. It is an order. It is our standing order on how we are supposed to act and respond to the gospel. When you come to Christ, your orders that Jesus left you with until he returns are, go therefore into all nations and make disciples. And this should be what we do all of the time. And I find that for most people, we get a little freaked out when we see the Great Commission. You want me to talk to people? Moses did the same thing, by the way. He tried to convince God. Now, isn't that funny? He tried to convince God that he couldn't do something. I can't do it. I can't talk right. Oh, don't worry about it, Moses. I'll put the words in your mouth. And the moment that you need them, they'll be there. No, I can't do it. Fine, but remember, you asked for this. I'm going to give you Aaron, and he's going to speak for you. And you're going to tell Aaron what to say, and Aaron's going to do it. And Aaron was a knucklehead. And Aaron did things the wrong way all the time. And I find that many times we feel that apprehension, that worry about sharing the gospel. And so we start here, and Jesus, he says something interesting. He begins in verse 18, not with the command, but on which authority he makes this command. And I find this empowering and important for each of us to understand before we go out and share. He says, all authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, how much authority was given? A little bit. No, not most of it. It was all of it. Now, I want you to consider this for a minute, because this should melt away any apprehension, any frustration, any fear that you have should melt away at this verse, because Jesus says that I am giving you the authority to share the truth with people. There is no one on this planet that can tell you not to evangelize. There is no one on this planet that can tell you to be quiet about Christ. And if they do, then we have to respond like the disciples. Is it better that we should obey man rather than God? Well, you decide. But the thing that I love about this verse is that Jesus starts out with this very peculiar yet empowering statement. All authority has been given to me in heaven and on earth. Now, let's look at this for a minute. Authority here is referring to everything, all power, all. Now, it's interesting because sometimes when people talk about God, they say, well, if God is all powerful, can he make a circle square? That's a cute statement. It doesn't make any logical sense whatsoever, because the minute you start transforming something from round into square, it stops being one and becomes, guess what? The other. Can he make blue red? Well, it stops becoming one and it turns into the other. Now, power is what they're talking about there. All power, but this isn't the word power here. But think about it. How many atomic bombs would it take to make a circle into a square? Well, it doesn't work that way, does it? It's not about power. It's not about force. It doesn't need a hydraulic press to turn it from one end to the other, because it doesn't make sense. You can't have, once it lacks three sides, then it becomes something else. A triangle is a triangle. A square is a square. A circle is a circle. Power is the ability to affect change. It's the ability to affect change. Now, God is all powerful, the Bible says. And Jesus says that when you receive the Holy Spirit in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, you shall also receive power. So we know that at the moment that we received Christ and the Holy Spirit came into our lives, we received, guess what? Power. We have the power to do what Christ has called us to do. But having the power and having the authority are different. Having the power and having the authority are different. Now, I have a truck, and my truck is a V8, and I love my truck. It's a little Toyota Tundra, and it goes really fast. Here's the problem. I have the power to go really fast in my Toyota Tundra. I lack, however, the authority to go really fast in my car on the streets. Okay, your car, you may drive a Ferrari or a Lamborghini or a Maserati, and it has a powerful engine and a powerful transmission and a powerful differential, and you might have the power to take that car to 200 miles an hour, but you lack the authority. If you try to take that car to 200 miles an hour, you're going to get arrested. Because you don't have the authority to take that vehicle to that speed on city streets. One of my favorite places to take, and I used to go there a lot, I haven't been there in years, is in between Victorville and Barstow, there is an off-road center out there. It's just this amazing stretch of desert with nothing for miles. And when I was in high school, that's where I used to take my little Toyota pickup trucks and thrash them. And I remember I made push bars for my bumper, and I would just find these things out in the middle of the desert and ram into them, and I'd break it, and then I'd go back to school and I'd weld it up again and I'd try it again. And I loved just, see, out there I was free from all of the regulations and the rules. I could drive as fast as I wanted within reason, because you don't want to flip your car. And it's just an awesome place to go to get away from the rules. Out there I had the authority to what? To go as fast as I wanted. And there are guys who want to set the land speed record. They don't do that on the 405 freeway. Where do they set the land speed record? In White Sands, New Mexico, right? Nice, open, flat desert. No authorities out there over them to tell them to slow down. They can strap a rocket to the back of their car and go as fast as they want. So there is a difference between having the power, which we saw in Acts chapter 1, verse 8, that we are given by the Holy Spirit to do whatever God has called us to do, and having the authority. There's a difference there. Now, God doesn't just say, I've given you the power. Jesus says here, all authority has been given. So not only has God granted you the ability, but he has given you the authority. He has given you permission to share the gospel of Jesus and make disciples in all nations. And I want you to write on that line, the authority to share. Why is this so important? I believe that one of the greatest hindrances to sharing our faith is that people fail to realize that we as Christians have more authority than anyone else in the planet. Because as we have Christ in our hearts, he says, all authority. There is no one greater than I am in heaven and on earth. Therefore, in that authority shall you go forth and share the gospel. There is no reason why you should be intimidated by anyone in this planet when it comes to sharing your faith. Period. End of story. We don't shy away from sharing our faith. Why? Because we have been empowered and we have been given the authority to share with everyone. That doesn't mean the world won't try to come against you, but if God is for us, who can be against us? And no weapon that's fashioned against us shall stand. So what is it, and I don't want you to really answer, but I want you to think about this. What is it in your own life that you fear, or what causes the anxiety and the apprehension when you feel the Spirit tugging on your heart, go share with that person? What holds you back? I want you to consider this for a minute, because even as a pastor, sometimes I think, really, that person? You want me to go share with them? I mean, I'll do it, but I don't really want to. I don't really feel like sharing the gospel with that person. You ever feel that way? I'm a pastor. I feel that way. Anybody else ever feel that way? You know, the lady at the checkout stand at Albertsons or something? You know the Spirit's tugging on your heart. Share something with them. Share. I remember, you know, I was running late for work one day, and I had a really, really bad headache, and I was just thinking, you know what, let me get some coffee, see if that'll help my head. And so I was going through the drive-thru at Starbucks, and I just decided I'm going to get some coffee and try to get this headache gone, and then I have to go to work. And so I was on my way to work, and I'm just trying to make this as fast as possible. And the Starbucks by my house, it's just the line was 30 cars long. I'm sitting there, and my head is just aching, and I'm getting more and more frustrated. And I finally get up to the window. I have no idea what I want. I'm like, just give me caffeine. So I finally get up to the window, and the Lord says, share with them. I don't have time for this. I have a headache. I don't feel like it. So the Lord says it again, share with them. So I asked her how her day was, and I am paying for my drink. And I said, do you know Jesus? I just was blunt. I did not have the head for it, and my mind wasn't there. And I just said, do you know Jesus? And she goes, Why would you ask me that? And I said, because God told me to. This is just how the conversation went. And she goes, yes, I do. I go to Calvary Chapel. Really? Which one? She told me. She goes, how about you? I said, yeah, I know Jesus. She goes, how long have you been a Christian? We started talking about it for a few minutes. And then the guy behind her who was making my drink said, here's your drink. And I said, does he know Jesus? And he looked like a deer in the headlights. We had a conversation. He did not know Jesus. And every time I go back now, I'm known as the pastor, which has proven really difficult because now I have to tip every time I go. They know I'm a Christian. They know that I love Jesus, and I don't want to leave a bad witness. So I can't go to Starbucks if I don't have a few dollars in my ashtray to give as a tip. But I wasn't in the mood. It wasn't as if I was ashamed of the gospel. It wasn't as if I didn't want to. Sometimes you just don't feel like it, do you? That's where the Holy Spirit comes in. And when he says do something, even when you don't feel like it, even when you, that power from the Holy Spirit gets you through that moment and you can now share the gospel. And what happens? People change. And we need to keep sharing the gospel. And sometimes God will open doors that you never even thought possible. I remember we were in Nicaragua and we were having in Holy Week on Good Friday, we took all of the kids and everybody in the church out to this river called El Crucero. And we rented a truck and took everybody out there. And our first year out there, we'd never done this before, and I wanted to do a Good Friday service. And in Nicaragua, everything during Holy Week, the week before Easter, is shut down by Tuesday. No stores are open. If you didn't buy your goods and everything that you needed, your groceries, you're not getting anything until the Monday after Easter. So on Good Friday, we take all the kids down to the river, and we have this picnic, and we have our Good Friday service right there on the side of the river. And the way we would do it is we'd get there early in the morning and we'd play in the water. And then at noon, we'd have our service and we would leave because all the drunks started getting there at about noon or so. And we want to get out of there before the partiers get going. And so this first time, it was a little weird having that service at the side of the river in front of everybody. And just, you know, kind of weird and awkward. And you have all these people kind of listening and trying to hear us. And so I remember the Lord, I just told the Lord, God, just use this and really affect somebody's life today. So we prayed, I shared the gospel, and nothing happened. Nobody got saved. Everybody liked it. We went home. We had Easter service, and that was it. 2 weeks later, I had to go to the capital city of Managua to try to get my residency figured out. And a lady, as I'm going through the line and doing my thing, a lady comes out, and it was the director of immigration, comes out, and she says, I know you. I know you don't. You don't know me. I don't exist. I'm nobody. She goes, I saw you at El Crucero Nueva Guinea. You're that pastor guy who was teaching on the side of the road. I got my residency. God, use it. Just, you know, you never know what opportunities the Lord is going to open up for you when you just take him and when he says, go share. Go share. So there's two parts of that. You have the power through the Holy Spirit, but do you realize you have the authority? You have the authority. You need to go share. You have more authority when you're speaking about the gospel than anything else, anybody else in the planet. And you need to share the gospel. And you need to share it with everybody. So don't be hesitant to share it with somebody at the grocery store or your boss or anybody else. And who cares if you get fired? Who cares if you get fired? And seriously, it doesn't matter. It's just a job. And if you can't share the gospel there, find another one. I remember when I was asking God to give me a job. I needed a job. It's a pastor. I needed a vocation to be able to support my family. I have a lot of kids. I have six kids. And so for me, to have six kids and be a pastor, I needed a job at the same time. And so I prayed. And I applied to a lot of places, Home Depot, Lowe's. I was doing general contracting work on the side. And I had an appliance sales business on the side out of my garage where I buy and sell appliances, fix them, and then sell them and install them. And I was doing all of these things, just trying to make it by. And I was asking God, God, give me a job that won't hinder me from sharing the gospel and from working in the ministry. And so what did I do? I kept asking God, and every time that someone would call me back, it was, you know, that's not it. That's not it. That's not it. And I just kept praying, God, give me the perfect job. And I waited on him, and I waited on him, and it was getting down to the wire, and I really needed a job. And all of a sudden, I got this job as a hospice chaplain, where the federal government pays me to pray for people. The federal government, Medicare and Medi-Cal, or Medicaid, pays me to go pray for sick people who are dying and ask them to receive Jesus. How awesome is that? All authority, Jesus said. You know, can you imagine the government paying an evangelist to go out and share with people? I can, because they do it every single day. Just last night, I was called to the hospital, and there's someone there, and they're sick, and they're dying. And the family, they needed to talk to somebody, and I went to the hospital. I got to share Jesus with 7 people last night, just because God opened that door. Not because of me, it's because God says, hey, it's my place. This is my earth, my heavens. I have the authority, and I'm giving it to you to go share the gospel. Do not be afraid. If your job can't handle you sharing the gospel, find another job. And I'm serious about that. You should never shy away from sharing the gospel. Now, let me just give you a couple of limitations. If you're a terrible worker, don't share the gospel at that time. Wait till you improve your work ethic first, and then share the gospel. Okay? Don't be the worst possible human being and then go say that you're a Christian. Give a good testimony to those who are outside. Have a good witness. Be a good worker and then share the gospel and show them who Jesus really is. All authority, he says. Now, I love this because he says, all of it on heaven and on earth, go therefore. Because of this authority, you are to go out. And you are to make disciples of all the nations. Now, notice what he says next. Not only do we have the authority to share, not only do we have the authority over everything, every government, every human being on the planet, no one can tell us not to share. Jesus is basically saying, if anyone tells you not to share the gospel, they're not of me. You don't have to listen to that rule. We are to obey the laws in the country that we live in, okay? And the Bible's very clear. Be subject to the governing authorities. However, anytime they tell you not to share the gospel, don't listen. And I want to be clear about this. I believe we should pay our taxes. We should pray for our country. But the minute they tell me that I can't share the gospel and I can't minister to people, I stop listening to that part of what they're saying. Now, that doesn't mean, okay, they tell you you can't be a Christian, so, hey, all bets are off. No speed limits. No, no. That's not the way it works. But in the area where they tell you you can't share the gospel, I'm not listening. And I won't listen. Now, mind you, most, even communist countries won't tell you not to share the gospel. In Nicaragua, we had a radio station. It's a communist country. And I remember every night we would pray for Daniel Ortega, who is the dictator of Nicaragua. He's supposedly the president, but he's a dictator who reelected himself. And that's the clue he's a dictator when he reelects himself. And when Daniel Ortega won the presidency, I told all of the Christians were bad-mouthing the president, and I just, on the radio station, we went on the air, and I told everybody, pray for our president. I don't care if you're this party or that party, Christian or non-Christian, pray for the president. Pray that God would lead him and guide him in the right decisions, that God would touch his heart, that he would have a relationship with God and that God could use him to affect our country for greatness. How awesome would it be that God took a communist dictator and would save him and then use him for his glory? How awesome would that be? So I said that on the radio station. The next day, the leader of the Sandinista party came to our house, the local Sandinista party, and he said, why did you say that, gringo? Because gringos are, you know, in Nicaragua, we're the enemies of humanity. That's the song. And I said, because that's what God's word says. And it was amazing to see how he said, well, we appreciate that. I didn't have an enemy anymore. He was actually willing to listen, and now he's willing to listen to our radio station and maybe even hear the gospel. See, Jesus, he doesn't say go and make fights and go to war and go and hurt people or argue with people. You're not going to argue somebody into the kingdom. He says, you already have the authority. You know, I really don't argue with my kids. I don't think that's a very effective way of leading, arguing with your children. When I tell my kids they need to do something, I expect it to be done. That's it. That's the end of it. I don't argue. I don't fight. I don't complain. If they don't do it, then we escalate. Right? That's the way it's supposed to work, isn't it? I mean, I don't have to. I will not argue with my kids. Please go do your homework. Look, I need you to go do your homework. You know you need to go do your homework. You know the teacher, your mom, is going to get mad at you when you don't do your homework. They're homeschooled. The principal, me, is going to get mad at you if you don't do your homework. I don't argue with them. I just expect it to get done. And they know that there's no arguing. There's no negotiations. We don't negotiate with terrorists. I just expect it to get done. I don't wait. There's something about when God sends us out in his authority, we don't have to argue anymore. I don't need to argue about the gospel. This is the truth. I can defend it. But I don't have to ridicule people. I don't have to make fun of people. I don't have to be mean to people. We can just share the gospel. And so he says, in the authority of Christ, think about the attitude that you're supposed to take with you when you share the gospel. You have the truth, the way, the truth, and the life. And no one's getting out of this planet except for through Jesus Christ. You're not going to make it through this life without Jesus. You have all authority in Jesus Christ to save the world. Think about that for a second. Now think about what your attitude should be when you share the gospel. It should not be timid and, well, I hope you understand. No, it should be, listen, you need this. Because you're going to go to hell without it. But let me tell you something. Christ died so that you don't have to. You have authority to share that with people, and you should do that with boldness. Not timid, not anxious, not worried, not I hope I don't lose my job. It's like, who cares if I lose my job? God's got my back, but you need the gospel. So before you fire me today, let me tell you about Jesus. And that should be our attitude. That should be the way that we approach the gospel. We have the way. We have the truth. We have the life. We shouldn't be holding back. We should go out with boldness, and we should go out with joy and love. And people should look at us and be weirded out. Why are you so happy? What happened to you? Man, I got to tell you about this thing. And so he says here, go and make disciples of all nations. Now, I want you to notice what he says about what we're supposed to do. We are not supposed to get people to sign up to be members of our church. Matter of fact, Calvary Chapels don't have membership. If you want to become a member, there is no membership. Okay, become a Christian, great. We're brothers and sisters. You're part of the family. But there's no membership here. We don't vote to decide whether or not we're going to pay the light bill. We just pay it. We don't have any of that kind of stuff here. That's not the way of government. We went through our Calvary Distinctives a little while ago, and if you remember, we used a mosaic form of government, and we don't focus on all of that stuff. If you are in Christ and you belong to Christ, then we're brothers and sisters. And that's all there is to it. That's all there should be to it. And as we come before the Lord, our desire isn't to fill seats. And this is an important and a key issue. Our desire isn't just to fill the church. You see, a number of years ago, there started this megachurch movement. And there's nothing wrong with a big church. But what happened was people assumed that if you had a big church, then your methods were correct. That's what they assumed. And so you have people out there who would say things like, okay, if you just have a purpose for your church, okay, here's what it is. It's about the worship. So what I want you to do is I want you to put some laser beams and some smoke machines and we have to get more relevant. And then there were some people out there who said, you know, we need to be more enticing to the world, so let's make church less like church and more like a disco. And there are all kinds of ideas on how we could unchurch church. There were even a bunch of people out there who said, let's come up with these one-name churches, you know, like Elevation or something, I don't know. And they even removed church from church. So it's not called Elevation Church, it's just called Elevation. Now, I don't have a problem with people doing something new and different. Don't get me wrong. But gimmicks aren't going to win people to Christ. Gimmicks aren't going to do it. And I really don't care to have the seats filled with a bunch of people who are not going to heaven. What do I mean by that? Anybody and everybody should come here and hear the gospel. But when they get here, they're going to hear the gospel. That's what we're going to share. We're going to share the truth. We're going to share God's word. We're going to share what God is saying in his word. And that's it. We're not here for a dog and pony show. Okay, I cannot dance. Somebody asked me this week, can you dance? No, I cannot dance, nor will you ever see me try. Didn't even dance at my own wedding. Okay, I cannot dance. My girls are going to get married, and I'm not going to dance because I can't. I know my limitations. You should too. Okay? We're not here for that. We're not here to make you feel comfortable. We're not here so you can have a safe space. We're not here so that we can be politically correct or politically motivated. We're not here so that you can hear what you want to hear, that we can scratch that itch in your inner earlobe. We are here because of Jesus, and we share the truth. And that's it. That's our whole purpose and our whole point. Jesus said, go therefore and make what? Converts. No, he doesn't say converts, does he? He doesn't want you to convert people. He doesn't want you to get membership. He doesn't want you to fill seats. He wants you to make disciples. And that's the focus of sharing. The focus of sharing, and write that on that second line. The focus of sharing the gospel is not just filling seats or getting more cash flow in the church. It's about making disciples. I want you to think about the difference here. A disciple is someone who is a student of another person, okay? Now, in modern terms, we have what are called journeymen, right? And a journeyman in almost any different type of job is somebody who is very, very good at their job, right? So we have a journeyman, say a journeyman electrician or a journeyman mason or a journeyman whatever. And then you have an apprentice. An apprentice is somebody who has no idea what they're doing. Okay? And apprentices kind of get on the nerves of the journeyman because they have no idea what they're doing. Okay? And it's just the way it is. And anybody here ever been an apprentice? Okay. Anybody here ever been a journeyman? Yeah, the two are diabolically opposed because the journeymen have to deal with the apprentice because an apprentice, by definition, knows nothing. A disciple is essentially that. It's an apprentice. It's somebody who is studying under another person. Their goal is to be like the person they're studying under. So if you wanted to be an electrician, first you go to school or you get some classes, you get some information, and then you become an apprentice. You have a little bit of knowledge, you have a little bit of a foundation, and now you start working under somebody who knows what they're doing so that they can train you in your trade. They can teach you everything that they know. And your goal as an apprentice is not to earn money, it's to gain understanding. An apprentice, a disciple, is someone who desires to be like Christ. A disciple is an apprentice of Jesus Christ, and their goal and their focus is to become like him and to gain as much information from him as they can and to become a journeyman like he is. A disciple is not someone who comes to church and just kind of goes through the motions and listens and, oh, that was nice, and goes home and lives a different life. A disciple is somebody who sits at the feet of Jesus, they listen to his word, they pray, and they worship him, and they learn to be like him. They become like him. And the longer that they are a disciple, the more like Christ they become. See, by definition, we don't want to make a building full of people who don't know Jesus. We want to fill this place with people who have a heart for Christ. who want to be like Jesus. Jesus never said just to make converts. He said, go therefore and make disciples. You see, when you go out with the power of the Holy Spirit and the authority of Christ, the result is making apprentices of Jesus. That is our goal. So what is the focus of sharing? It's not just to get them here. Now, that is an opportunity. If you know somebody that needs Jesus, invite him to church. That's always a good start. But that's not where it ends. That's not where it ends. Now, if you're a Christian here today, if you know Jesus, don't just be a convert. Become an apprentice. Become a disciple. Start reading the word. Start praying. Start hanging out with godly men or women. If you're a man, hang out with godly men. If you're a woman, hang out with godly women. Hang out, if you're married, hang out with godly couples in the church. For he who walks with wise men will himself become what? Wise. That's the apprenticeship program that God has designed into the church. Find godly people to hang out with. If you are a godly family, invite others who are new to hang out with you. If you are a godly man, hang out with the younger men and teach them and let them become your apprentice and the apprentice of Christ. If you are a godly woman, then hang out with the younger women and teach them to become apprentices of Jesus. That's why the Bible says, let the older women teach the younger women and let the older men teach the younger men. And we are to raise them up. Not in the things of the world, but in the things of Christ. Teaching them to pray and to have faith and to trust in the Lord and to honor him, to worship him, to study his word, to rightly divide the word of truth, to serve him, to give them their lives, to share the gospel and go out and make disciples of all nations, to rely on the power of the Holy Spirit. These are the things that we train others to do. This is the apprenticeship program. And if you've not grown, if you're not becoming more like Christ, it's time to step it up a notch and become an apprentice of Jesus. To become like Christ. So he says, go therefore and make disciples. Now, where should we go? Everywhere. All nations, he says. Everywhere. Not one race or another race, not one nation or another nation, but every nation. Now, I love what he says. This work that we're doing, this apprenticeship program that we're doing, should bear fruit. He says, you're going to go out, you're going to share Christ, you're going to invite people to learn to be like Christ, and in doing so, the results are going to be visible fruit in their lives. Not only are they going to accept Jesus, they're going to get baptized in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and they're going to start to observe to do all of the things that I have commanded them to do. So notice that there is an external outpouring and move of the Holy Spirit with visible fruit in their lives. This isn't just that they said a prayer once and then they went and they hid at home and they kind of lived the same old life and nothing ever changes. That's not a disciple. A disciple is someone who receives Christ, who gets baptized, who has a physical and outward confession of faith. And then who further goes on to observe all that Jesus commands us in his word. That is a disciple. Does that describe you today? Are you a disciple of Jesus? If not, get back to this drawing board and start over. And go before the Lord and say, God, you know, I've just been going through the motions, but I want to be a disciple. I want to be someone who with power. I want to be someone with authority. So God, I'm going to start over. We have tons of ways that you can serve in this church, and there are a lot of godly men and women. Look around you. There are a lot of godly men and women in this room right now who are willing to meet with you, who are willing to share with you, who are willing to cry with you and to put their arm around you and help you when you're down. They are willing to minister to you. All it takes is for you to ask. But don't hang out with the wicked. Blessed Psalm chapter 1. It says, blessed is a man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, who stands not in the path of sinner, who sits not in the seat of the scornful. Don't hang out with bad people. Don't hang out with drunkards and liars and partiers and all this other stuff. Don't hang out with those that are not going to draw you closer to Christ. Because if hanging out with wise men will make you wise, how much more will hanging out with fools make you a fool? Don't hang out with the wrong crowd. If your right eye causes you to sin, pluck it out. And if your right hand causes you to sin, cut it off. the key here is that we don't allow ourselves to be influenced by those in the community that seek our demise. You see, the devil would love to get you to get stuck on drugs or alcohol. He would love to get you stuck on pornography and lust. He would love to get you stuck on pride and arrogance. He would love to get you stuck on covetousness and idolatry. He would love for you to get stuck somewhere and stop looking after Jesus and start looking to yourself. Turn away. Become a disciple of Jesus. If you've been in the church and you think you are something, you know what really makes you a leader? You know what really makes you somebody who should be honored in the church? If you are making disciples. If you're a disciple maker. That's what sets the standard. Because Jesus said, this is the minimum. Everybody, go out and make what? Disciples. But before you can make them, you have to be one. Become a disciple, make disciples. And notice, he says, the authority to share, the focus of sharing. But look then at verse 20, teaching them to observe all things that I have commanded you. And, oh, here's the most awesome part. And lo, I am with you some of the time. I'm with you when you're behaving. I'm with you as long as you pay your tithes. That's not what he says, is it? Notice what he says. And lo, I am with you always. I'm with you at work. I'm with you in the bathroom. I'm with you on the freeway. I am with you always, even to the end of the age. He says, I am going to be there every step of the way, even when you mess up. When you succeed, I'll be there. When you mess up, I'll be there. The Bible says a righteous man falls seven times, but yet he gets back up again. And you see, a righteous man gets up because he realizes that God is there. And maybe you've been a failure, maybe you've been somebody who's messed up, but God says, I am here to help you as you share. I'm here to assist you. And I want you to write on that last line, the help to share. You're not doing this by yourself. Jesus said, the authority is mine. You're going to be seeking me as you go. I am the focus, but I am also the one empowering you and helping you to accomplish this thing. It's not just that you have to go out and be on your own. No, he says, I'm here with you. One of the most amazing scriptures for me is that the Bible says where two or three people are gathered together in the name of Jesus, do you realize he says, there I am in the midst of them? Do you realize Jesus is here now with us? And he'll be with you when you go home. And he'll be with you at Starbucks, and he'll be with you at Albertsons, and he'll be with you at work, and he'll be with you in the bathroom. Lo, I am with you always. This is the amazing thing. When we become an apprentice, when we become a disciple, we realize we are not alone. We have the help that we need. Now, he says two things. Number one, I am with you always, all the time, 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. You can't shake him. But he says another thing, not only all of the time, but forever, even to the end of the age, meaning as far forward as time is going to go, I will be with you. It doesn't stop. I will be with you always. This is one of the most amazing promises. You see, if you are in Christ and you are a disciple of Christ, you don't have to worry about losing your salvation because he's with you all the time and you know this. It's an assurance that you can have, that you can hold on to, that you can be assured of your salvation. And you can assure others of their salvation as they become disciples of Christ. I want to challenge you tonight. I want to challenge you to fulfill the commission. This is not something that we have the ability to say, I don't feel like it. No, we are all called in Christ. If you are a Christian here today, what does that mean? Let's start back a little bit. We are all sinners. And we have all messed up. And our sins have alienated us. They have separated us from God. And the wages of sin is death. And the only way to get around going to hell and burning in hell for eternity is Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I am the way and the truth and the life. And if you have Christ, if you accept him as your personal Lord and Savior, then you don't have to be punished for your sins. The Bible says, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And tonight, if you trust in the sacrifice of Christ at the cross to cover you for your sins, the Bible says, if we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us of our sins and cleanse us of all unrighteousness. And it says in another place, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. Behold, all things have passed away, and all things are made brand new. And tonight, you can be new. And not only new, you can have new authority, new focus, and new help. And if you have Christ in your heart, and you seek after Christ, and you follow after Christ, no matter what the cost, then the Bible says, if anyone has left father or mother or sister or brother or property or anything else for me, he shall by no means lose his reward. You see, we follow after Jesus in the commission to share. In the coming weeks, we're going to be looking at what the gospel is and how we share it and the proof that we can give and how we prepare to take it to the world. And we're going to be looking at these different aspects of evangelism over the next 6 weeks. But the key here is tonight. We need to understand that you cannot do this on your own. This isn't a gimmick. This isn't a game. This isn't something that I'm going to teach you the five specific words you have to use to win people to Jesus. That's not what this is about. This is about you giving your heart to the Holy Spirit and saying, use this, and I will follow. And watching as God does something amazing. I encourage you to bow your heads with me as we pray. Lord, as we come before you tonight, we thank you that you have given us so much, Father. And that even while we were still sinners, you sent your Son to the cross to die for our sins. And I pray that tonight that Christ may dwell in the hearts of each one here through faith. And that each one, being rooted and grounded in love, may be able to comprehend, Father, as it says in Ephesians 3:17 and 19, that they may be able to comprehend with all of the saints what is the width and the length and the depth and the height, to know the love of Christ which surpasses all understanding. And that each one would be filled with all of the fullness that you offer. Tonight, as we come before you, Father, I pray that you would empower each one and that each one would realize the authority granted to them to share the gospel without fear or anxiety. Lord, help each one here step out in faith and share the gospel as they go forward, unashamed of their Savior. So we thank you and we praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.